Let me get this one. I think this, I'm not sure if this will, usually the remote works, so I'll make sure it's, no, just hit the red, oh, there we go. All right. Okay, let's begin. Let's bow our heads as we prepare for the teaching of God's Word. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your mercies. We know that they are new every morning, and great is your faithfulness, and we see them in so many ways. We thank you for this new day. We thank you for life. We thank you for health. We thank you, Lord, for eternal life through faith in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, you might provide physical strength to many who are suffering, as well as your spiritual strength through the teaching of Scripture. So open our eyes that we might behold wonderful things out of your doctrine. Sanctify the believers here through your truth, because your word is truth. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, we are on the number 46, getting close to the end there as far as our series, our year-long series on the 50 things that God has given to us at the moment of faith alone in Christ alone. And we're going to deal with the filling ministry of the Holy Spirit. So, you say, why is this added as a positional reality? Because there is the moment of faith alone in Christ alone. At that moment, you receive the full blessing of the Spirit. As we know, there are four permanent ministries of the Holy Spirit given at that point. Regeneration, indwelling, ribs. Remember, R-I-B-S. Regeneration, indwelling, baptism, and sealing. And as well, though, filling. At that moment, you are filled with the Spirit. Now, the filling ministry of the Holy Spirit is not permanent. And we will see that personal sin causes the believer not to be filled. When we're sinning, we are not obviously controlled by the Spirit. But at least at the moment of faith alone in Christ alone, we receive the full blessings of the Spirit, including filling. So, Galatians 3:3. We will begin there, and then we'll look at our main passage on the filling ministry of the Holy Spirit. Galatians chapter 3, verse 3. Are you so foolish? Paul said this to the Galatians, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? So all the fullness of the Spirit, including those various ministries that we just mentioned, and now they're trying to fulfill the Christian way of life by dependence, self-dependence, and going back to the law, actually. So they began the Christian life with the Spirit of God, and then they tried to live apart from the Spirit of God and fulfilling God's Word. And we continue to need to walk by faith and walk in dependence upon the Holy Spirit. And that's one of the conditions, by the way, for the filling ministry of the Holy Spirit is dependence upon the Holy Spirit's power. You cannot fulfill the Christian way of life by your own strength. The Apostle Paul, you'll end up like the Apostle Paul. The good that I would do, I find myself doing the opposite. Romans 7. Now, the filling ministry of the Spirit is received at salvation is revoked when the believer sins. Obviously, when you're sinning, you're not filled. We'll see the definition of filling is control. When the Spirit fills you, it's not that you receive more of the Spirit. We normally think of filling a cup, you know, you get more water, you know, idea. But the idea, though, with filling is control. The Spirit is, you receive the full Holy Spirit when you believe in Christ. Spirit is a person. He doesn't come piecemeal. You either have the Spirit or you don't. But does the Spirit have all of you? That's the question. You have all the Spirit, the fullness of the Spirit, but did the Spirit have all of you? Are you being controlled by the Spirit of God? So, the filling of the Holy Spirit is recovered. What's the method of recovery? Confession of sin. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We had that great provision to simply acknowledge our sins as believers and fellowship is restored, and the filling ministry of the Holy Spirit is recovered. Now, Ephesians 5:18 is the main passage dealing with this tremendous ministry of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 5, verse 18. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Notice the contrast here. And we see in this, even in this definition here, or this context here, the idea of control. Being drunk with wine means the wine controls you. We call that under the influence. We're under the influence of another substance. Well, don't be under the influence of wine, but now be under the influence of the Spirit, we could say. Under the Spirit's control. And that's part of the definition of what it means to be filled with the Spirit. The Spirit's controlling you as a believer. And therefore, as a believer, when you're filled with the Spirit, you are spiritual. Okay? You can either be carnal as a believer or spiritual. And we're going to look here in a minute of three types of individuals in the Scripture. And let's just review the ministries of the Holy Spirit given to you at the moment of faith alone in Christ alone. Regeneration, the R. That basically means the impartation of eternal life. That's the definition of being born again. What does being born again mean? You're regenerated by the Spirit of God. You have eternal life. Then we have indwelling, the Spirit. Then regeneration occurs at one point. You pass out of spiritual death into spiritual life. You experience a new birth. And therefore you're born again. Then the Spirit of God indwells you at that point. The Spirit of God, and that's permanent. Spirit of God resides in you. But the Spirit of God does not necessarily always control you. And that's an important distinction. Then the Spirit baptism. This is not a feeling, but simply a positional transaction. The Spirit places you. Baptize means to put a place. The Spirit places you in Christ. And therefore, you're now in a permanent position. All those resources that we've been studying over the past year. Then, at that point, the Spirit himself is the seal. He seals you for the purpose of your future redemption. That's called the glorification of your bodies. That will occur at the rapture. So you're sealed. It's linear. That doesn't change. You're sealed until return of Christ for the church at the rapture. Now, the ministry dealing with fellowship is filling, as in 1 John 1:7 and 1:9. Filling is the Spirit's control in your life. That's directly related to your daily Christian life. And so that's a very vital ministry regarding your daily fellowship with God, your daily walk with the Lord. Personal sin causes you to lose the filling ministry of the Holy Spirit, whereas confession, 1 John 1:9, acknowledging your sins, recovers fellowship with God, and therefore it also recovers the Spirit's control. And by the way, the Spirit of God is your teacher as well. And so in order to understand God's Word, we need to be in fellowship. So that's why we have a time of, we call it spiritual preparation, before the teaching of God's Word to privately confess sins so that the Spirit of God can control you and your divine teacher can minister and teach you the Word of God. I'm simply a human instrument God uses. God uses human teachers, but the Word of God is spiritually discerned. As Paul said, these truths cannot be academically perceived merely, but the truth of God's Word must be spiritually perceived. Now, let's examine this passage, break it down a little further. Do not be drunk, Ephesians 5:18, do not be drunk with wine. Drunk with wine is a present passive imperative verb. We get the word methane, and therefore it's related to alcohol, English term here. Methsuko is the Greek word here. It's a present tense verb, and therefore it's a command here, the imperative mood. indicates it's a command. The passive indicates that it's something that God does to you. And when I walk in obedience to God's word, I'm depending on the Spirit of God, then it's the Spirit of God who controls me. It's something God does. He fills me. But here, though, it means in that way, in drunkenness, we'll look at the passive also. I'm running ahead of myself here. We'll look at the passive voice and filled. Here it's in drunk. Being drunk means the alcohol is doing what to you? Controlling you. That's a passive voice, by the way. So the command is don't be drunk. That's a command. Don't be drunk, but be what? Filled. Now, don't be drunk with wine. Fermented wine here, obviously. The idea of it's intoxicating you. Some say that wine is in the Bible is never fermented. I heard that argument. Really? Well, then how can you become drunk? That's good. I don't see that. Here though it says don't be under its influence. So don't reach the point to where you're under the influence. We had a lot of passages related to that, but that's not our subject this morning. So we're gonna move further. And what does wine do? Wine controls you and it causes stupidity. That's a simple way to put it. Debauchery is the word here. Dissipation is the Greek word meaning behavior which shows lack of concern or thought for the consequences of an action. There's no thought about consequences. Senseless deeds, reckless deeds, including debauchery. So you're under the influence, it leads to a chain of other sins. It leads to reckless living. And I think the counterpart is being filled with the Spirit, that leads to godly living. There's a lot of fruit that comes out of being under the Spirit's control. Teaching ministry, we'll look at later, what's the result of being filled? What will you see in your life as a result of being filled? You'll be able to comprehend the scripture. You'll be able to produce spiritual fruit. You'll love the brethren. There's a lot of results of being under the Spirit's influence. Just like being under wine leads to, you know, reckless deeds, being under the Spirit leads to deeds that are approved by God. Now, let's continue here. So we can translate this first part, do not be drunk with wine, for that results in reckless deeds. Now, similar word used of prodigal living in Luke 15:13. We won't look at that, 1 Peter 4:4, but that's the idea of dissipation. Now, here's the word be filled. Here's the command. It's imperative verb here. It's passive, meaning God does the work. It's present, meaning it's ongoing. So we have here plerao, or plero here, controlled by the Spirit. It's the second passive imperative, or it's the present passive imperative verb, second person plural. We could say you all be filled. You singular is you, individual. We can say, even though we say in English you or you, you singular, you plural, but I like in the South, you can say y'all. It makes a distinction. You all of you. So we can say y'all be filled. Y'all be filled with the Spirit. Present tense refers to ongoing action. Here it's continual, not always. The present tense is not always in the Bible refers to continual action, but in this context, it's ongoing. This is over your Christian way of Christian life. So this is ongoing throughout your Christian life. The passive means God does this. God is the one who's filled. Now, you need to meet certain requirements in order to be filled, but God is the one who controls. And therefore, it's a command. Imperative mood is the mood of command. So, command, don't be drunk with wine. Command, instead, be filled with the Spirit of God. Now, three types of men in Scripture. There is the natural man. We call this the psychikos man. We get the word soul. Used to sing a song, I'm a soul man. That's the good song for the unsaved. I'm a soul man. The soul man is a man governed by the soul or the fallen instinct or nature of man. Soul here represents the fallen nature of man. So this would be the unsaved person. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. We call this the natural man, the psychikos man, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because these truths are what? Spiritually discerned. See? Now, the word receive doesn't mean that he can't sit and listen to Bible teaching, or maybe understand some basic facts, but the idea is he doesn't welcome it. Dekomai means the idea of welcoming, accepting. So the idea is a natural man cannot appreciate, welcome the truth of the Spirit of God. It's foolishness. By the very fact it's foolishness to him, it means that he has no appreciation for the Word of God and what it can do in this life. He needs to be born again, obviously, before he can have that capacity given by the Spirit of God. So we have here the soul man, we could say. And then the spiritual man. The spiritual man, pneumatikos, if you're familiar with Greek, you know the word pneuma is the word used also, that root for the Holy Spirit. And therefore, the pneumatikos man is the one who is controlled by the Spirit of God. We could say the pneumatikos man is the one who is filled with the Spirit. This refers to those who are spiritual, enlightened by the Holy Spirit, enjoying the influences, grace, and gifts of the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15, the following verse, "But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no man." Now, judges all things means the truths that are rejected by the natural man. He appreciates those things. He investigates those things. He could study and examine those things in the Word of God and appreciate them. Whereas the natural man, he thinks it's foolish. The spiritual man is able to say, no, this is how this verse applies to my life. This is how this truth is applicable. And so the one controlled by the Spirit has a greater appreciation for spiritual truth. Then we have here the third type of individual, the carnal man. And we get the word sarx for flesh, so this is a Greek word, sarkikos. We call it the fleshly man, the man controlled by his appetites, the sin nature. We would say this is a born-again believer under sin nature control of the soul. A believer who's pursuing the things of the world, who could care less about the things of God. He's controlled by his sensual appetites. He's governed by the old sin nature instead of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is not controlling him. And look at 1 Corinthians 3, and Paul mentions a few things here, what carnality looks like, fleshly divisions, for example. "I, brethren, cannot speak to you as unto spiritual," there's the believer controlled by the Spirit, "but as to what? Fleshly, carnal, as the babes in Christ." Now, there are those who deny the fact that a Christian cannot be carnal. They haven't been around very many people, especially in the church. But, yeah, Christians can be carnal as a day is long. I've met quite a few believers who at times can be carnal, fleshly. And notice here, they're still babes, not because they haven't had time to grow. Here, this is different than 1 Peter 2:2. 1 Peter, remember, 2:2 is newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. Their new believers are growing. Here they're babes because they have, it's like in Hebrews 6, you should be teaching others, but you yourself is only, you're only on the milk. Why? After being saved 10, 20 years, because of carnality. That's the reason why. "I have fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you are not able to receive it." Notice that. You can't appreciate those truths of God's Word, the advanced truth of God's Word. And that's just virtually identical to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11 through 6:1. You are not able to receive it. Even now, you're still not able. For notice, you are still carnal. Meaning that you're in a state of carnality. See, there are people, oh yeah, a Christian can sin on occasion. But a Christian cannot remain in carnality. Remain, yes, even to the point of descending to physical death. You're in a state of carnality. A born-again believer can be saved as a child and then basically the rest of their life blow off, you know, attending church or reading their Bible or whatever. They're still secure by God's grace, but they're carnal. They're carnal. They die that way as a loser Christian. You're still carnal, and notice he defines what that looks like. Envy, strife, divisions. One of the manifestations of fleshliness in a believer. You're carnal and behaving like what? Mere men. What does that mean? Now, if they're saved, obviously he's referring to unsaved men. You're acting like an unsaved person. See this idea of looking at people and say, oh, that person must be a Christian because they do that and that. You know, I would say that person's lost because they must do that. And sometimes we could say that because they never profess faith in Christ. But sometimes there's the believer who's living out in the world that's saved by God's grace, but they're acting like the unsaved. And they're under the same sin nature control as the unsaved is. Unsaved person, you know. And their control. They are still acting like they're not born again when they are. You're behaving like mere men. So, you know, sometimes you can't tell the difference. Actually, you might have a religious, unsaved person side by side with a carnal Christian. And you may think the religious person is born again and the carnal person's not, but it's the exact opposite. Isn't that something? All right, that's fleshliness. So we want to make sure, though, that we're spiritual and therefore controlled by the Spirit of God. And that's where the filling ministry of this Holy Spirit comes in. Now, life without Christ includes no hope, no life, spiritual death. Ephesians 2:1. And you hath he quickened, made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. That would be like dead man walking. You are separated from the Holy God. You're in spiritual death. And therefore, that also includes people in religion. And I use that religion as man's way of trying to achieve salvation versus biblical Christianity. Jesus Christ came down to man to provide salvation. And people in religion or fleshliness or, you know, outward, overt, we think of rebellion, they're still either one. They have no life. So they need salvation. They need to be in that blue circle. They need to believe the gospel. So what must you do to be saved? Paul asked the Philippian jailer. Or Philippian jailer asked Paul, what must I do to be saved? Acts 16:31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Basically, believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. He was buried and rose again. And that his work is sufficient enough for you to go to heaven. You're trusting in what he did alone, and that brings you life. So, we have here the person who believes. Notice now they are in that circle of salvation. So that's what's only required here, faith alone in Christ alone. Now, notice these two people are in that circle of salvation, but not necessarily as they grow. Are they in the spiritual circle? See, they're saved, but they're not necessarily living the Christian life. All right, so they need further. They need to be controlled by the Spirit of God. So what's interesting here, when you think about it, these two individuals are regenerated, indwelt, baptized, sealed, and filled, we would add, initially at the point of faith alone, but if they sin, and it won't take too long to sin after you're born again. I told you this before, but I remember my pastor telling me this. He was saved at a revival service, and we went out, smoked a cigarette after you accepted Christ as a Savior, went home, and, you know, he was telling me, he's like, nothing's a change. What has happened? And then all of a sudden, you know, he started to have this insatiable desire for the Word of God. And just read it 3 days straight and God was starting to work in his life. But that was kind of funny. He said, after he went down to the altar, that doesn't save you, but obviously they explained the gospel clearly. He said he understood his faith alone, you know. But he said, I went outside and smoked a cigarette. It was like, and I thought, yeah, nothing's changed, you know. But he needed to grow. He was an infant at that point who still had an old sin nature. But now he's passed out of death to life. So we need to continue to be controlled by the Spirit of God. And so notice these individuals. Now they can move into what we call the spiritual life. This individual here, this man and this woman, can now start to live. And I drew that circle a little larger there. In the spiritual life. Now, in the spiritual life, being controlled by the Spirit, we can please God. Why? Because that lifestyle is a lifestyle of faith. Hebrews 11:6. Let's take a look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is hard to please God. No, it's impossible. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. You know, you can't please God without a life of faith. This includes, obviously, faith alone in Christ alone, but this is living by faith. And this whole chapter is dealing with faith. We can't begin to please God unless we believe and we walk by faith. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. We believe God's nature. He is. He exists. That's the basis for a relationship with God, is believing who he is and his nature, and that he is a what? Rewarder of those who do what? Diligently seek him. So we can't please God, but if we continue to walk by faith, we are pleasing in God, and one day God will do what? Hebrews 11b, 6b, reward us. And that occurs where? At the judgment seat of Christ. So in order for God to reward you, you must walk by faith in the spiritual life. You must be controlled by the Spirit of God. And therefore, pleasing God, one day you will be rewarded. Outside of the spiritual life, carnality, and therefore no lack of rewards. Or you won't gain the rewards if you continue to live. That doesn't mean that if you ever sin, you're not going to be rewarded. The idea is, if you live in that state of carnality, then you'll be a loser Christian. You won't receive reward. Okay. So, in that circle, let's narrow it down to spiritual life. Now, if we narrow down the further, we have the salvation circle, and then we have here the spiritual life circle. Now we're going to divide it even further. I can be spiritual as a believer, filled with the Spirit of God, but not mature. Okay? We need to continue further to reach maturity. All right. Now, let's back up a bit on this. Let's elaborate on this. The example of this would be a newborn baby. And a newborn baby can be healthy. So that would be likened to, you have a spiritual life. You're controlled by the Spirit of God. You're walking by faith. But it takes time for you to develop. See? And grow. Growth takes time. So don't confuse spirituality with maturity. Spirituality and maturity are two separate things. Now, in order to reach maturity, you have to maintain spirituality. For a child to reach maturity, they need to maintain healthiness. Continue to maintain physical health, as well as, I think, developing maturity mentally and making sound judgments, and then they reach maturity. Not necessarily is that at the age of 18. I think as our generation, we move further, it's that number is higher and higher of people. Some people never do grow up, but they take responsibility. But here, for the born-again believer, I can have... Now, think about this. I could be saved one day, controlled by the Spirit, and I can have someone next to me saved 40 years controlled by the Spirit, and both of those individuals are spiritual. Both are equally spiritual. But one individual is not mature. See? The babe is not mature yet. He needs time in the Word of God. He needs time to develop spiritual life, his walk with the Lord, and maturity takes time. And then over that time, he can develop rewards. All right. Now, just some quick points on the filling ministry of the Holy Spirit. And the filling ministry of the Holy Spirit is repeatable. We saw that by the present tense, but we also see this in the book of Acts. We see the disciples filled, and then they're filled again, and they're filled again. When initially, on the day of Pentecost, they were filled with the Spirit, Acts 2:4. But then we come along, notice Acts 4, verse 8 and 31. Acts 4, verse 8 and 31. Then Peter filled with the Spirit. He's filled again, right? He was filled on the day of Pentecost, but now he's filled again. And then Acts 4, verse 31. Let's jump down to verse 31. When they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Notice the result. They spoke the Word of God with boldness. They spoke the Word of God with boldness. So they were filled again. So the filling ministry is repeated. Repeated. It's not a one and done thing. It's not like regeneration. Regeneration is you're born again at a certain point in time, and you remain that way, but not filling. Filling, therefore, is repeatable. Secondly, we never ask to be filled with the Spirit. Now, this is a mistake I hear from people who pray sometimes. I've heard this before. Lord, fill me with your Spirit. No, we don't go around asking to be filled. Just like we don't go around asking to be saved. We believe the gospel. We don't go around asking to be filled. If I'm carnal and I ask to be filled, the Lord says, I'm waiting for you to own up to wrongdoing. I'm waiting for obedience. I'm waiting for, you know. And it's like, don't ask me unless you do meet the requirements to be controlled. So I think sometimes this verse is misused. I think it's Luke 11:9. Let's take a look at Luke 11:9. From people who have no dispensational understanding. So I say to you, ask and will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and will be opened to you. Everyone who receives, ask, receives, he who seeks, finds, him who knocks will be opened to you. People misread that and say, well, we then therefore need to be asked to be filled with the Spirit of God. No, when you read the Apostle Paul's epistles, you never say, ask to be filled. Never, never. We had that main passage, Ephesians 1, just be filled. We don't ask to be filled with the Spirit. We meet the requirements in order to be filled. And there was a transition period in the book of the Gospels to where initially the Spirit of God was given as a temporary endowment, but later on the ministry of Spirit came at Pentecost. So we had to rightly divide these things. Don't ask to be filled. Now next, we don't need to speak in tongues in order to be filled. Now some charismatics misread Acts 2:4. Acts chapter 2, verse 4, and take the result as a requirement. See, they're reading back into it. And they were all filled with the Spirit. And what was the result? They began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them. So what do they do? They charismatics, they take, well, in order to be filled, therefore, we need to speak in tongues. Now, problem with that is you look further in the book of Acts, there are people who are filled with the Spirit, but they did not all speak in tongues. See, so this was a unique situation where Jews were gathered together, and notice here in verse 5, the tongues was a witness of what the Spirit of God was doing to these Jews in the Roman Empire, speaking in their own what? Dialect. It's not gibberish. Tongue is never in the Bible gibberish. It's never blah, 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 blah. Whatever monosyllables or syllables you make up. That's not to get to tongues. Tongues was the ability of speaking a language that you previously did not learn. It's a human language. So that's not required. That's an unusual circumstance for, you know, the beginning of the church where the Jews are gathered together as a witness to them that God was doing something miraculous. Just like the phenomenon of Mount Sinai, that was what was going on there. Now, some people say we got to tarry to be filled. We got to wait and go to the altar and wait on God's presence to kind of hit us. Acts chapter 1 verse 4, let's look at that. Acts 1 4. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. Later on, he said to be wait to be endued with power from on high. And, you know, what is the waiting for, though, by the way? They're waiting for something that would happen on one occasion, the beginning of Pentecost. And therefore, the waiting is not, it's like waiting for the Super Bowl. You got tickets to the Super Bowl, you're waiting for that day. But that's not going to occur every day. Pentecost is a non-repeatable event. And they were just to wait there until, historically, until the day of Pentecost. It's not a command for all believers to wait till the Spirit comes upon you. Those were those disciples, hey, wait till the day of Pentecost occurs. Unfortunately, people have taken that and say, no, all believers need to be tarrying at the altar until the presence just comes upon them. And that's not the biblical view. All right, now, we don't have to be slain in the Spirit to be filled. There's one example of one who fell backward, and they tried to use that passage in Acts to say, see, you know, we need to go to a Benny Hinn concert or carnival in order to be filled with the Spirit. The coattails of the Spirit waves, you know, whatever, takes off his coat, and the people in the first three rows fall down and whatever. I think it's satanic power, by the way. Satanic power that's being, you know, used. This is what shamans do and others and occultic religions. They have slain the Spirit meetings. It's demonic. And therefore, we don't have to be slain the Spirit to be filled. You know. So, here's what Ryrie says. Instead of holy laughter, we need holy living. I like that. Pep is no substitute for purity. Words of knowledge do not hold a candle to the words of the Bible. Rather than being slain in the Spirit, we need to be filled with the Spirit. Rather than dancing in the Spirit, we are commanded to walk in the Spirit. Instead of speaking in other tongues, we need to speak more boldly the wonderful works of God in our native tongue. The prophecies of the Bible do not need to be augmented by so-called prophets today. God's revelation is complete and sufficient. Let's devote ourselves to knowing, loving, and obeying it, and therefore to know, love, and obey our Savior more and more each day. I like that. That's really good. Now, three requirements for being filled. You say, well, then you're talking about filled, then how am I filled? What do I do in order for the Spirit to control me? Well, we don't. Chafer mentioned three. Frutenbaum added a fourth one, by the way. I was looking at Frutenbaum, but I want to go with Chafer here at this point. He said, grieve not the Spirit of God. And therefore, we need not. What grieves the Spirit of God? Personal sin. Ephesians 4:30. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Do not grieve the Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Okay. Now, what grieves the Spirit of God? Verse 31, personal sin. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, so forth. So the connection here is we grieve the Spirit of God through personal sin. The Spirit lives in us, and what grieves the Spirit? Sin, personal sin. So therefore, when I sin, I'm grieved, the Spirit is grieved, and I'm not controlled by the Spirit. How can I grieve the Spirit and be controlled by the Spirit? The two don't go together. Now, I'm not to quench the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:19. This is the idea of, I think, connected, related to obedience. He talked about certain spiritual gifts that were temporary in the context there in 1 Thessalonians 5:19, but I think it includes obeying, being guided by the Spirit, obeying biblical truth. And therefore, thirdly, I need to walk in dependence upon the Spirit of God. Galatians 5:16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of flesh. Walk in the Spirit means walk in an attitude of dependence upon the Holy Spirit. What kind of walk is that? That's the walk of faith, isn't it? That's the walk of faith. That's the walk of reliance. So if I'm not committing personal sins, if I'm being obedient to the Father, and if I'm walking in an attitude, humble, submissive dependence upon the power of God, I'm automatically at that point controlled by the Spirit. See? I don't have to pray for that. I just meet the requirements, and the Spirit of God is doing what? He's controlling me as a believer. Now, what's the result of being filled with the Spirit? There are several key elements that results from being filled with the Spirit. I don't think I have at this point. I have a thing I had that later in my notes. The filling ministry of the Holy Spirit is the key. Oh, here it is. Yeah, the filling ministry of the Spirit is the key ministry related to the spiritual life of the believer. So what ministry relates to your spirituality as a believer? It's not the baptism ministry of the Holy Spirit, as the charismatics try to teach. I'm more spiritual when I'm baptized. No, you're spiritual when you're filled. The filling ministry of the Holy Spirit is a key to Christian living. We already dealt with, I can be filled but not mature. Maturity takes time. Ephesians 4:11-15, James 1:2-4, Hebrews 6:11-6:1. He said, you should have been teachers by now, but you have one teach you. The ABCs of the Word of God. And then James 3:1-2. So maturity takes time. By the way, we had the word for, let's look at Ephesians 4:11-15. Ephesians 4:11. God gave the gift of pastor teacher for that very purpose. So he can teach you the Word of God so that you'll grow to spiritual maturity. He himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets. Remember Ephesians 2:20, those are the temporal spiritual gifts God has given to the church. The church grows numerically through evangelists, and then spiritually through the one gift here, pastor teacher, literally shepherd teacher. What does he do? He equips the saints. They do the work of the ministry. Notice that the saints do the work of the ministry. That's related to their spiritual gifts. What happens when that occurs? The body is built up. And then we move forward in the Christian life till we all come to the unity of the faith. We're all walking on the same page, biblically speaking. That's within the local assembly. This is not interdenominational unity. This is unity in the body of Christ. And the knowledge of the Son of God to a what? Here it is. The perfect man. Now, that's not sinless perfection. We get the word teleos, and that means to reach a goal, and it can be translated mature man. So we continue to take in Bible doctrine in a local assembly under the pastor teacher, using our spiritual gifts, united together in truth, and then we grow to what? Maturity. So it pictured here as a goal. What does maturity look like? Notice in verse 13, it's Christ's likeness. To the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ. And what is the opposite of maturity? Being a child. See at verse 14? That we should no longer be children. A child is what? Tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Not spiritually stabilized. There's the need for the pastor teacher. So it can stabilize the believer in sound doctrine, sound teaching, so that you could continue to execute the Christian way of life and grow to spiritual maturity. And notice verse 14, it's also called spiritual growth. But speak the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is head, Christ. So spiritual maturity is related to the path to spiritual maturity, by the way, put it this way. The path to spiritual maturity is spiritual growth. And that means I'm consistently being controlled by the Spirit of God. I'm filled with the Spirit on a regular basis, taking in the Word of God under a pastor, teacher, and eventually I'm growing and I'll hit that maturity barrier. Maturity barrier doesn't mean that my Christian life is over. I'm at the pinnacle. No. Think about your adult life. You went along as a child, you were in adolescence, things were kind of crazy at that time, and then you hit teenage status, and finally you're a young adult, and hopefully at some point you are a responsible, mature adult. Your life did not end. That may have occurred 10, 20, 30 years ago. Over that period of time, you are a responsible adult, and you are to continue to grow. So your Christian life, once you reach maturity, is not over. You can continue to grow as an adult. But you're an adult that's not childlike in your nature. Irresponsible, making bad decisions, or teenage status, whatever. You are not childlike in your thinking and your actions. So I think the spiritual life is likened unto that, if you want to put it that way. So people think they can grow the spirit. Once I'm mature, that's it. Oh, no, you can, as a mature individual, by the way, make immature decisions from time to time. Irresponsible decisions. You know, that's allowing, and as a Christian, you can go, you allow the sin nature to control you as a spiritual adult as well. So this is ongoing. This, take a look here, the results of the being filled. What's the result? Effectual prayer, John 15. Jesus speaks about abiding in me, and then, you know, my words abide in you. You shall ask what you will, and it shall be done to you. What he's saying here is, if you understand biblical truth, and you continue to remain in fellowship, your prayer life will be effectual. So he's speaking about effectual prayer there. Through the Spirit, Galatians 5. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, and temperance. What does spirituality look like? A believer who's loving. A believer who's patient. A believer who's kind. A believer who's long-suffering. A believer who's gentle. A believer who's meek. That is what Christ's likeness is all about. And that is what spirituality looks like. That fruit cannot be produced by a believer who's not filled with the Spirit. Understand that. Only by the believer who's controlled by the Spirit will spiritual fruit be manifested. That's what spirituality looks like. All right. Godly character goes along with that. Integrity, godly character. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Something like that. Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Let us not be conceited, verse 28, provoking one another, envying one another. So godly character is and spiritual fruit go hand in hand. What about ministry toward other believers? Galatians 5:22. And this is internal, by the way. This is kindness is active, by the way, directed toward other believers. Isn't that right? And goodness. See, goodness. And long-suffering is kind of passive toward others, believers who wrong you. But kindness is active and goodness is active. So that is directed toward other believers, including using your spiritual gifts effectively under the filling ministry of the Holy Spirit. What about teachability under in learning the Word of God? John 16:13. John 16:13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you in all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. He will tell you things to come. How can you be guided by the Holy Spirit into truth apart from being filled with the Spirit of God? What about using spiritual gifts? Romans 12:4 and verse 11. We won't look at that, but we taught on spiritual gifts before. But that's, notice I didn't say using, I said the effective use of your spiritual gifts. I could be like a carnal Corinthian and use a spiritual gift to bring attention to myself. But the effective use of spiritual gifts is the key. And what about worship? Notice in the context of Ephesians 5:18, let's go back to our key text and filling. Ephesians 5:18. Be not drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be what? Controlled by the Spirit. Notice speaking to one another. See, the sentence doesn't end there. Speaking to one another in what? Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, and making melody in your heart to the Lord. That is a result of being controlled by the Spirit. By the way, that's a picture of joy, isn't it? Joy, which is what? A fruit of the Spirit of God. So, music and worship. Not just music, but music in a way that honors God. Worshipful hymns, spiritual melodies, and praising God as you sing. Music should be a part of the local worship service. By the way, I call the whole hour the worship hour, not just the singing part. Some churches call, well, the singing part is worship. No, the worship part is, you're worshiping God by taking in Bible doctrine by faith. They that worship him must worship him how? In spirit and in what? Truth. Remember that passage. Biblical truth is part of worship. So, this is the worship hour. We sing though as well. We sing hymns of praise and songs, spiritual melodies to the Lord. And this is a result of being filled with the Spirit. If you do it with joy and worship by faith, think about what you're singing. You're praising God. It's part of praise. It facilitates praise. Now, not everyone who sings is spiritual. But the idea is we should be praising God as we sing, and our spirit and heart should be pleasing to Him. All right. Comment here by Robert Morey. He wrote a book called Satan's Devices. He says, one device today that Satan has capitalized on is the idea that being filled with the Spirit is an irrational emotional experience that is somehow separate from a way a person lives. I'm amazed at the number of people who claim to be Spirit-filled whose family life is ungodly. The biblical evidence of a Spirit-filled life is personal holiness and Christ-likeness. That's the biblical evidence of being controlled by the Spirit of God. That's what it looks like. It should result in godliness and Christ-likeness. The filling ministry of the Holy Spirit relates to the believer's power. Power is not related to the baptism ministry of the Holy Spirit. It's related to the power of the Christian life and godly living. Acts 1:8, Acts 4:31. Therefore, the baptism ministry of the Spirit relates to the believer's position, 1 Corinthians 12:13. And the filling ministry of the Holy Spirit is related to the believer's walk, daily walk. Now, We've already noticed the filling ministry of the Holy Spirit's lost due to personal sin. When we grieve the Spirit of God, we're not controlled by Him. Even though you can lose the filling ministry of the Holy Spirit, you don't lose your salvation. Or the Holy Spirit doesn't leave. Heard that. You can grieve away the Holy Spirit. No, he's grieved by the fact he's still hanging around. Hear everything about that? If he went somewhere else, he wouldn't be grieved. He'd get away from you and your carnality. But he's in you. And when he sins and you rebel against him, he's like right with you. So, the Holy Spirit, you don't grieve away the Holy Spirit. You grieve the Holy Spirit who lives in you. So you want to make sure your body and the decisions you make glorifies and honors the Lord, so the Spirit of God will not be grieved through personal sin. And then the filling ministry of the Holy Spirit relates to God's control. That's the whole purpose. Is God controlling you? Not that you get more of the Holy Spirit, but does the Spirit get more of you? Is the Spirit of God controlling you? The filling ministry of the Holy Spirit doesn't mean that you receive more of the Holy Spirit. It's not. The Spirit is a person. He doesn't come in parts. He comes all at once. You either have him or you don't. And we already dealt with confession of sin recovers the filling ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now, all right, I want to fast forward here. We dealt with Ephesians 5:19, and notice speaking, singing, making melody, giving thanks, and submitting are all present participles. They're ongoing. Ongoing result of being filled means you'll be speaking, singing, making melody, giving thanks, and submission, by the way, is later in the context too. It's a key to whether you're a filled, spirit-filled individual or not. All right, we'll stop right there. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And we know that the Spirit indwells us, but does the Spirit control us? That's the question. We pray, Father, that we might walk in fellowship with you, walk by faith, walk in an attitude of humble dependence upon the power of another. And we know what Christ, our Savior, said, apart from me, you can do nothing. And even in relationship to the Spirit of God, we cannot live this Christian way of life in our own strength. So we need your divine power. We need your divine resources. So help us to understand how to utilize the Spirit's power and continue to please you as we walk by faith and we continue to grow in your grace. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right. Can you check the see if that's off? Just look at it, the camera. Just as Cheryl can. All right.